The sixth parak continues discussing some principles of the korbanos mincha. Mishnah Aleph says as follows: Elu menachos nikmatzos fishyarehen the kohanim. These are the korban minchas, and we're about to get a list of them. That indeed a kmitza is done to it. The kmitza is once we have the korban mincha prepared, the kohen will take off the 3 fingers worth of the korban mincha, and the kometz amount, that's the part that's taken off through the process of kemitza, the kometz amount, the 3 fingers worth, is put on the mizbeach, and the shirayim, the leftover, is given to the kohanim to eat. And this is the Tana, this Tana Kam is of the view that whenever you have a kemitza, that means that there is going to be leftover that's eaten by the kohanim, and any time that you're going to have leftovers to the kohanim, you have to do a kmitzatid, and part is burnt. So that's what's going on in this Mishnah. Elu menachos nikmatzos v'shirin the kohanim. Those two go together, that if you have a kmitza, you have shiraim. If you have shiraim, you have a kmitza. And this is the list, mincha soles. That's the standard dry flour mincha offering. It's not baked or fried. V'amachavas, v'amarcheshes. These are the two that are fried in a pan. One is like a griddle, a shallow pan, and one is a deep pan. V'hachalos, v'arakikin. Those are baked in an oven. The first one, the chalos, is in the form of chalas, and the second one in the form of wafers. Minchas goyim. That is a korban mincha that's voluntarily given by a non-Jew, minchas nashim, and a korban mincha that's voluntarily given by a woman, minchas haomer, that is the korban mincha that is brought on Pesach, the second day of Pesach, minchas chote, certain times if certain aveiras are done and the person cannot afford to bring a more expensive korban, so the minchas chote is brought, minchas knaos is brought by the sota, as part of the sota process. So that is the Tana Kaba. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon disagrees when it comes to one specific korban mincha about that link, that if you're going to have a kmitza, you're going to have shiraim. If you're going to have shiraim, you're going to have to do a kmitza. Rabbi Shimon Omer is of the view, minchas chote shel kohanim nikmetzes. When you have a mincha that is brought by a kohen, and it's a minchas chote for certain sins, so there's a general rule that whenever a kohen brings a korban mincha, or the kohen gadol brings his korban mincha, the entire thing is burnt. So the Tana Kama would say, if the entire thing is burnt, so there's nothing left over to give the kohanim, so you don't do a kmitza on it. You just burn the whole thing. Why do a kmitza? Nothing is being divided up, with part being burnt and part giving to the kohanim. Accordingly, the Tana Kama says, the minchas chote, there is no kmitza done, and there's no shiraim left over. That goes together. However, Rabbi Shimon is of the view, minchas chote shel kohanim, there is a kmitza done. Nikmetzes v'hakometz karev la'atzmo, and that kometz amount that you take off, that's burned by itself, and there's no shiraim that's given to the kohanim. V'ashiraim karevin la'atzmo, and the shiraim is also burnt on the mizbeach, because it's a korban mincha that's being brought by a kohen. So despite the fact that there is no shiraim being given to the kohanim, Rabbi Shimon is of the view that you still do take off the kometz, and that's burned, and the shiraim is burnt as well. Mishnah Beis is going to give us an additional 2 categories of korban minchas, whereas in the prior Mishnah Aleph, we discussed the korban mincha that was divided between the mizbeach and the kohanim, with the kometz being burnt on the mizbeach and the shiraim, the leftover, being eaten by the kohanim. In Mishnah Beis, we're going to have another category that the entire thing goes to the mizbeach, and then the other category is going to be the entire korban mincha goes to the kohanim, with nothing to the mizbeach. So here we go, Mishnah Beis, minchas kohanim, u'minchas kohen mashiach, u'minchas nesachim. These are 3 types of korban mincha. The first is any type of korban mincha that is brought by kohanim. As we mentioned previously, the entire thing is burnt on the mizbeach. And in addition, the mincha that's brought by the kohen mashiach, that's the kohen gadol each and every day. And also the minchas nesachim, this was a korban mincha, a flour offering that was brought together with an animal offering. For all 3 of those, they go la mizbeach, the entire thing is burnt on the mizbeach, vein behem the kohanim, and none of it goes to the kohanim. And the Mishnah comments, bazei yafe koach ha mizbeach mikoach ha kohanim. When it comes to these 3, the privilege, the strength of the Mizbeach is stronger than that of the Kohanim, because for these three, the Mizbeach gets the entire Korban Mincha and the Kohanim get nothing. And now we're going to see the reverse. The next category is that the Kohanim receive everything and nothing is burnt on the Mizbeach. Shtei Alechem, that is the Korban that is brought on Shavuos, the Korban Mincha that's brought on Shavuos, V'lechem Apanim, every week, the showbread that was placed, the new ones were placed on Shabbos, and the old ones were removed and given to the Kohanim to eat. So both of those, fully la Kohanim, all of it was given to the Kohanim to eat. Vein behem la Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach got nothing. Nothing was burnt on the Mizbeach. And a similar comment as we had at the end of the Reisha, but in reverse, Ubazeh Yafe Koach HaKohanim Mikoach HaMizbeach. When it comes to these two, the strength, the power, the privilege of the Kohanim was greater than that of the Mizbeach, because the Kohanim got the entire thing and the Mizbeach received nothing. Mishnah Gimel harks back to something that we saw in the fifth parak, Mishnah Gimel, that most of the Korban Minchas are brought not only as flour, but with oil as well. And we're going to get now into the recipe as to how the Korban Mincha was prepared when we have both flour and oil. So Mishnah Gimel starts off as follows, Kol HaMenachos HaNasos B'Kli, all the Korban Minchas that are made fully in a Klei Sharis, and we're talking about, for example, a Mincha Machavas that was fried in a griddle, a very shallow pan, and also the Mincha Marcheshes, which was also fried, but in a deep pan. So those were Menachos HaNasos B'Kli, Korban Minchas that were made in a Kli. The Mishnah tells us, to una shalosh matna shemen, when we had the flour, we would have to apply to these type of Korban Minchas oil three different times, so that there were three separate applications, and now we're going to list them out in reverse chronological order, and then we'll get into more detail in it. So the third application was yitzika, applying the rest of the oil at the end of when the Korban Mincha was already prepared. And middle was ubelila, that was the second application, was it was mixed in to the flour of the Korban Mincha. And number one, which is going in reverse order, the first chronological application would be umatan shemen b'kli kodem la'asiyasan, putting some oil into the kli sharis before putting the flour in. So now we're going to read through the Bartanur. Is going to give us more detail on how this Korban Mincha, this type of Korban Mincha, was prepared. So it's dibur hamaschil umatan, Umatan Shemen B'Kli, and it's about two-thirds in. So the Bartanoi says, Nosen Shemen Tchila B'Kli Shars. The first thing that you would do when bringing this Korban Mincha is you would put some of the oil into the Kli Sharis, and only thereafter would Venosen Alavas Asolas. Then you would put the flour on top of that. V'chozer V'nosen Alash Shemen U'Bololan. And then we have the second application of the Shemen, of the oil, and you would mix it. Bololan is mixed. So when in the Mishnah we said there are three applications, the last one we said is putting in the oil into the Klei Sharis. So chronologically, that's done first. And thereafterward is the Belila, when we mix in the second application of the oil. Once we put in the first application of oil, then we put the flour on top. We add more oil, and then we mix it together. Harematan Shemen B'Kli U'Belila. So we had two of them so far. V'lasha b'mayim, and thereafterward we would knead it with water, v'ofa b'tanur, and then we would bake it in the oven, u'potata, and thereafterward we break it. Now that we have the Korban Mincha, we have to break it into smaller pieces, which we will discuss a little bit later in our parak. V'yotzek alav aleha shemen achar p'tita, and then the third application is yotzek, is from the word yitzika, that's the third application of the oil that we have, Harei Shloshtan, that's all three of them. So the three times that we apply, first into the Kli Sharis, and then afterward, after we put in the flour, we have the second application called the Belila, and the third one, after everything is mixed, baked, and or fried, and broken into pieces, we have the third application called the Yitzika, and at that point, it's fully ready to go. We've a kometz, that is when the kemitz is done, the kometz portion is taken off by the kohen, umaktir as a kometz, and that kometz portion that's been taken off, the three fingers worth, is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest of it, vasher nachal kohanim, the rest of it is eaten by kohanim. So that is all an explanation of the reisha of our Mishnah. Now, truth be told, we are going to have a machlokes as to when exactly that second application of oil is done. Is it done before or after the korban mincha is baked or fried. So we're going to see that right now. V'hachalos. This is a kipshuto. It's talking about a specific type of korban mincha. It looks like we're not talking about what we said in the reisha. The reisha was talking about the minchas machvas and minchas marcheshes, for example. Those are fried. And now it seems that we're talking about the mincha that's ma'afe tanur, that is baked in the tanur. But truth be told, the Mefarshim say that this machlokas we're about to see applies as well to the korban, to the minchas machvas, and the minchas marcheshes. So we're going to talk about the mincha ma'afab tanur, that is baked in the oven, but the same machlok, it applies to those that are fried in a pan. When it comes to the mincha that's baked in an oven, it can be either prepared as chalas, or rikitkin. Rikitkin is wafer. So when you're baking in the oven, there are two possibilities. It's a chalos or rikitkin. So when it's talking about something that's baked in the oven, and the chalos bolilan. So the question is, though, that we're grappling with is that second application of the oil, the belila, when is that done? So the Tanakhama here is Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe is of the view that when we have that korban mincha ma'afet tanur, it's baked in the oven, and he says the same thing would apply to our minchas machvas and mitchas marcheshes. It is done, v'hachalos bolilan, Divrei Rebbe. It is once it is baked, or we would say the same thing, once it is fried, and only once it is fried, that is when the belila is done, that's the second application of the oil, but not when it's still raw. Chachamim omrim solas. Chachamim are of the view that that second application of the oil is done before it's baked, if it's talking about something that's baked in the oven, or before it's fried, if it's something that is fried in a pan. The second application, the belila, is done at that point. Now, truth be told, when it comes to the minchas ma'afet tanur, something that is baked in the oven, there are only two applications of oil. That is going to be the first application, but did you put it into the kli before putting in the flour, and then the belila, but there's nothing done after the fact. There's no yitzika done. But in any case, we have this machlokas here. When is that second stage done, whether you have two stages or three stages? And it's a machlokas between Rebbe and Chachamim, if it is done after the baking or the frying, or like Chachamim, that it's done before the baking or the frying. And continuing, hachalos tu'unas belila, this we just said before, that the korban mincha, when it's baked in an oven, if it's baked as chalas, you need to do belila. You actually have to apply the oil and mix it into the korban mincha. Baharikikin, however, if you have a type of mincha that is being baked in the oven, but it's not being baked as challahs, as loaves, but it's being baked as wafers, as rikikin, you would not do belila per se. You wouldn't mix in the oil, rather mishuchin. You would simply smear on the oil. It would be smeared on. It would not be mixed in to the rikikin, into the wafer. And continuing, keitzan moshchan, if we do have the type of oven-baked korban mincha, that is a rikikin, that is a wafer, so how do you smear on that oil? So the Mishnah says, kamin ki, it was in the form of a ki. It's a machlokas in the Mefarshim. What is the form of a ki? Is that like a tes, like the Hebrew letter tet, that you put it in that formation? It's like a U in the English language, or is it like an X, that you applied it as an X when you're smearing on the oil? But in any case, so it's a machlokas, but that's how it was applied. But because we do have a difference between the challah application, when you do belila, that you mix in oil, and when we have the rikikin, that it's not being mixed in, but just a little bit is being smeared on top. So when it comes to the rikikin, there's going to be some leftover oil. So who gets that leftover oil? Ashar Hashem and Nechal Akonim, that leftover oil is going to be eaten by the Kohanim. Mishnah Dalet continues to discuss the preparation of the Korban Mincha, and we're going to focus in particular on the type of Korban Mincha that is either fried or baked. And after it was fried or baked, it was broken into petitin, which are pieces, broken into pieces, and that's going to be our discussion, which of the Korban Minchas need to be broken into pieces, and how was that done. So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Kol HaMinachos, Hana'asos b'kli, all the korban minchas that were made in a kli, that were made solely in a kli, like the korban mincha machavas, and the Mincha Marcheshes, and it also comes to include anything that was baked in an oven. The Mincha Ma'afet Tanur would be included in this. To Unas Petita, they would be required to be broken into pieces after frying, after baking. At that point, it would be broken up. And now it's going to give us more detail. Mincha Yisrael, if it was Yisrael that was bringing that korban mincha, so then after the baking or cooking, what you would do is kofel echad l'shnayim, you would fold it from one piece into two, so now we have two folds, ushnayim l'arba, and then you would fold it again. Instead of going from two, we go to four folds now, umavdil, and what they would do is they would separate it along the fold, so they would break it into four different pieces. The reason for this, kipshuto, is that we need smaller pieces in order for the kohen to do the kamitza on it. He can't do a kamitza on one pita-like or loaf-like mincha, so you need to break it into smaller pieces, and from that, he would do the kamitza. Minchas kohanim, continuing, if it was a mincha of the kohen and a mincha kohen, there was no kamitza done to it, the entire thing was burned on the mizbech, nonetheless, you would still fold it. Kofel echad l'shnayim, you folded one into two, shnayim l'arba, and two into four, ve'enu mavdil, however, you would not separate, you would not cut it along the folds because there is no kamitza. Minchas kohen ha-mashiach and the korban that was brought by the kohen gadol each and every day. Lohaya mechapla, literally you would not fold it at all, but it means you would not fold it into four, you would only fold it into two. But again, there was no separation along the folds because there's no kamitza done on it. The entire thing is burned on the mizbeach. But we see in the Tanakhama here that even though there was no kamitza done on the korban of the kohanim, the mincha of the kohanim and the mincha of the kohen, still certain folding was required, although no separation. It wasn't cut along the folds, but you would still fold it. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, minchas kohanim and minchas kohen mashiach, the general korban minchas that were brought by kohanim and the kohen gadol when he brought his daily korban mincha ein behem petita. Literally, it means you don't need to break it into pieces. But what he's really saying is you don't need to fold it at all. Why bother folding it? Mipnei she'ein behem kamitza, because there's no kamitza. There's nothing being taken off of it because the whole thing is being burnt. There's no reason to fold it. There's no reason to break it. Just leave it whole and intact. And he explains as follows: V'chol she'ein behem kamitza, ein behem petita. But any korban mincha from the kohanim, from the regular kohanim, from the kohen gadol, because there's no kamitza being done on it, because the whole thing is being burnt on the mizbeach, there's no reason to break it into pieces. There's also no reason to fold it either. And then to conclude the Mishnah, there's actually a machlokas how to understand v'chulan kezeisim. All of them are kezeisim. The Tiferes Yisrael is of the view that this is Rabbi Shimon continuing. This is the view of Rabbi Shimon, and he continues to disagree on an important point with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama simply said that you, for example, the Minchas Yisrael, you fold it over once, you fold it over twice, so it's in four parts now, and then you separate it into four. What Rabbi Shimon is coming to tell us is you may have to fold it and cut it into even more parts because v'kulam kezeisim, and the end of the day, after you cut that korban mincha into parts, it has to be left with a kezayis. Each piece has to be a kezayis, no larger than a kezayis, the size of an olive, and accordingly, we're not going to go by folding it into four and just cutting it, but you have to look at the measurements, and it has to be left with a kezayis in order for the kohen to do a kamitza off of that. So that is one way to read it. That's the Tiferes Yisrael. The Bartanura has a different take on it, a little complicated. He says that this Rabbi Shimon, this statement, at the end of the Mishnah of Akulan Kazesim is not Rabbi Shimon. This everyone would agree to, that what you have to do is you have to divide up the Korban Mincha into, if you're doing a kamitza, like at the beginning, the Reish and the Minchas Yisrael, that the Tanakhama said you fold it into two and you fold it into four. Rabbi Shimon says as follows, Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon would agree as follows, that it has to be the size of a kezeisim. How is that? So we'll read the Bar Tanura now, v'chulan petitin kezeisim. They all have to be in the size of kezeisim. All of the pieces that you break, that you cut up, it has to be in the size of an olive. The seifa, the matnisin lav Rabbi Shimon kamar, the seifa of the Mishnah that says it all has to be kezeisim, that's not Rabbi Shimon, that's divrei akoli, everyone agrees. So how would you prepare it if we said you've fold it into four and you cut it along the folds, what if that's not kezesim? So what you have to do, says the Bartanura, the la'achar sha'asa pitim kezesim, what you would do, to, you would cut it all up into, you have one korban mincha, it's one flat thing or one loaf, you would cut it into pieces the size of the kezesim. And thereafter, that's what the Tanakhama was saying, that you fold each kezais, each small piece the size of an olive, into two and two into four. So the folding was done after it was broken into the size of the kezesim. So that is indeed the second way that we read the Mishnah. This is the Bartanura's reading, that kulam kezesim is agreed to by everyone. Then first you would break it into kezesim, and only thereafterward would that mincha shishol be folded into two and then into four. Mishnah, hey, we are going to take a step back in discussing the preparation of the korban mincha to before we even have flour, when we still have kernels, and we're going to discuss how those kernels are removed from the husk around them. So the Mishnah says as follows, Kol ha-minachos te'una sholosh me'ot shifa, all the korban minchas and the preparation of the raw material, of the raw kernels, it's required to be rubbed. That means rubbing the kernel between one's hand and a utensil to loosen or to remove the husk. It needed to be done 300 times, v'chamesh me'os be'ita, and 500 times it had to be pounded with one's fist or one's palm. And it's discussed in the Gemara that it wasn't 300 and then 500 times, but there were alternating rhythms between them that you would actually do one rub and 2 pounds and then two rubs and 3 pounds, and then you would do that set over and over again to get 300 total rubbings and 500 total poundings of the kernels of the korban mincha in order to remove the husk. Bahashifa v'habi'ita bechitin, and it clarifies that these rubbings and these poundings were at the chita stage, while it's still a kernel, in order to loosen the husk. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afba Batsek, Rabbi Yossi says, also later on, after you have your dough prepared, as part of the preparation of the dough itself, it also required these rubbings and these poundings in order to have a very thoroughly kneaded dough. Now we're going to talk about in the Seifa something that doesn't relate to the Reisha as follows. Kol ha-minachos ba'os eser. When you make your korban mincha, you have your korban mincha, and when you bake it or fry it, you wouldn't bake or fry it into one huge loaf. Into one huge loaf was not what we needed, but rather you divided it into 10 loaves. So every korban mincha was made into 10 loaves. You would divide the dough into 10, and you would make it accordingly into 10 different loaves, with two exceptions according to the Tanakamu, who is Reb Yehuda, Chutz Milechem Apanim, Belechem Apanim, the showbread for Shabbos, that was made into 12 loaves, and also the Chavite Kohen Gadol, the daily Korban Mincha that was brought by the Kohen Gadol, also Shein Baos Shemesra, those two were made into 12 loaves each. Divrei Reb Yehuda, that's the view of Reb Yehuda. So Reb Yehuda, the default is you're going to make your Korban Mincha offering into 10 loaves, with the two exceptions of the Lechem Apanim and the Chavite Kohen Gadol that were made into 12 loaves. Now Rabbi Meir has a different take on it. Rabbi Meir Omer Kulan Baot Shemesra. Everything came in sets of 12, not sets of 10, but with two exceptions. Chutz milchalos toda, the chalas of the korban toda. The korban toda came as 40 loaves, so four different types of preparations, and it was four different types, 10 each for a total of 40. Mahaneziros, and also the korban brought by the Nazir would also be brought in the sets of 10, not sets of 12. Shenbos, Eser, they were brought as sets of 10, not sets of 12. Mishnah Vav, and thereafter Mishnah Zayin, discussed the preparation of the flour for three different types of korban mincha. And on a high level, what we'll see is that the korban mincha had to be very finely ground and sifted flour. So we're going to start off with a large amount, fairly large amount of grain in order to achieve the amount of flour that was necessary for the various korban minchas. So we're going to start out haomer. This is the korban haomer that was brought on the second day of Pesach. So that's the korban omer. Hayaba Isaron, you needed a total of an Isaron. It's approximately 4 liters of finely ground flour. Mishalos Se'in, they used to start with the gross amount of 3 Se'ah, which was actually 10 Isaron. So you're starting with 10 times more of the gross barley. This was brought from barley, not wheat. And you started with 10 Isaron in order to get down to 1 Isaron. So you started approximately with 40 liters of barley. And in order to work that down, it had to be ground and sifted tremendously in order to get the high quality necessary for the Korban and Omer. Just an important point here is that this was early season barley. It wasn't that yet high quality that would develop later in the season, so there was a lot of chaff. So because of that, you have to start with that gross amount, much higher amount of 10 Isaron in order to reach the 1 Isaron that was necessary. And also because it's barley, inherently there's a lot more chaff that they needed to go through. Next, we are talking about the Shtei HaLechem, which was brought on Shavuos. Now, this is not brought from barley, but is brought from wheat. And it happens to be early season wheat as well, but because wheat doesn't have as much chaff, you're going to not need the 10-to-1 ratio. So it's Shnei Esroni Mishalos Se'in. You're going to start with 3 Se'in of the gross amount of the wheat kernels. You're not going to have to start with 10 Se'in, just with 3 Se'in, and it's going to get us down to 2 Esronos, which is double the amount of the fine flour that we needed for the Shtei HaLechem relative to the prior Mincha of the Omer. So we need a lot less on the gross level, and it's going to give us double the amount on the net level of the fine flour necessary. So that's the Shtei HaLechem. And the Lechem Apanim, which was every single Shabbos, they needed to prepare the flour for the Lechem Apanim, or they needed it prepared by then. Esrim V'arba Esronim Me'esrim V'arba Se'in. What they would start with was a 24 amount of Se'ah. And that created on a 1-to-1 ratio the 24 Esronim that they needed in order to do the Lechem Apanim. So because that was later stage wheat, and wheat has a lot less chaff, later stage wheat is going to have less chaff intrinsically, and because it's wheat, so they would have a 1-to-1 ratio when it came to the Lechem Apanim, starting with just the same amount of one se'ah of the kernels, of the gross kernels, and that is what they used to get down to the one Isaron of the necessary fine flour. Mishnah Zayin is building on what we saw in Mishnah Vav, the prior Mishnah, where we saw the gross amount of grain that you needed to start with, and then you needed to go from that, grind it, and then sift it in order to achieve a certain net amount of the grain. We talked about three specific Korban Omers. Now we're going to continue in Mishnah Zayin talking about the sifting, how many sieves were needed in order to achieve the fine flour necessary for the various Korban Minchas. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaOmer, when it comes to the first one we discussed in the prior Mishnah, the Korban HaOmer that's brought on the second day of Pesach, Haya minupe b'shlosh esre nafa, because you were sifting out a lot of chaff, you had to sift it with 13 separate sieves. And the way they set these sieves up, they were stacked one on top of the other, with the one on the top having the biggest holes, and it would fall from one to the other, and you would be sifting through them with the bottom amount after it goes through 13 sieves, that what was left, the flour that was necessary for the Korban HaOmer. And the same thing applied the next type, Ushtei Alechem. Ushtei Alechem that was brought on Shavuos B'Shtemesre, they used 12 sieves for that. The Lechem Apanim B'Chadesre, and the Lechem Apanim, they had to use 11 sieves, and what was left at the bottom one, that is what was used as the flour to make the Lechem Apanim. Now, Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree, not only with the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, saying that there was a set amount of sieves that they had to use in order to achieve the fine flour at the bottom, but he's also going to disagree with the prior Mishnah Vav, where he said that there's a gross amount of either barley for the Korban HaOmer or the wheat for the other two Korban Minchas, that there's a gross amount necessary that you start with. Rabbi Shimon doesn't care about how much gross wheat you start with, or gross barley you start with, or how many times you sift it. That doesn't care to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon only cares about the end result. Whatever it takes for you to get to the finely ground flour that's necessary for the karbanos, do it. Whether it's a lot or a little of the gross grains, or you need to sift it a lot of times, or a few times, or 15 or 20 sieves, it doesn't matter, says Rabbi Shimon. Bottom line is the flour, the quality that we need in order for it to be used in the Korban Mincha. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo yala kitzva, there was no set amount when it came to these two variables of the gross amount of the grain necessary or the number of sieves that we used. Ela soles minupa kol tzorcha hayamevi. What you need is soles minupa. Soles is fine flour that was sifted until necessary. All of its needs were sifted, hayamevi, and that's what you have to bring for the Korban Mincha, Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Velakachta soles vafisa osa. Pasuk says, you shall buy fine flour and you should bake it. Ad shetehe minuka kol tzorcha, until it is fully sifted, until you achieve the result of the fine quality necessary for the Korban Mincha, regardless of what you start with on a gross basis of grain and how many times you sift it, that doesn't matter. All that matters is the bottom line result. We need the high quality necessary for the flour in order to bring those Korban Minchas.